Welcome to Lesson 22 in our study of the Book of Revelation as a part of the Prophecy series. So today we're going to progress right along into Chapter 14. Now I want to remind you, what have we looked at so far? Well, we've looked at basically two series of judgments that have taken place. We've seen with the beginning there were the seal judgments, the seventh seal revealing an additional seven judgments, which were the trumpet judgments. And we've seen the blasting of those seven trumpets, which resulted in a series of judgments. We also saw an opportunity that John was taking to help us with a great overview of the three personages that we see with regards to the story of the Book of Revelation. That, of course, being the woman which represents Israel, the child who was born and would be taken up to be with God the Father, which is Jesus, and the dragon, which is Satan, who is obviously trying to eliminate Jesus, but that didn't work, and so now has turned his attention to destroying Israel. We then saw also the introduction of two individuals who will be playing a part with regards to the end, and especially with regards to the final series of judgments. So today, we're going to focus in on Revelation chapter 14, verse 1 through Revelation chapter 15, verse 8, the preparation for the final series of judgment. So what we're going to do now is we're going to focus in on everything that must take place before this final devastating series of judgments. So let's focus in, first of all, first section we're going to look at is Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 5, the 144,000 on Mount Zion. So I want you to notice with me what the text says. So look with me at verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, and with him 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. The voice I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they were singing a new song before the throne, and before the four living creatures, and before the elders. No one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. It is these who have not defiled themselves with women, for they are virgins. It is these who followed the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been redeemed from mankind as first fruits for God and for the Lamb. And in their mouth no lie was found, for they are blameless. Okay, so let's take a look at this first section. We're going to divide it in a couple of parts as we look at verses 1 to 5. So let's focus in on Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. We're going to see the Lamb and the 144,000. So what I want you to notice is this. John foresees the Lamb surrounded by 144,000 on Mount Zion. Now, Mount Zion, of course, we know is Jerusalem. So he's foreseeing this in what would be the future of these 144,000 being with Jesus. Now, when we come to chapter 14, verses 2 through 3, we see the song before the throne. So there's this song that takes place before the throne of God. So a heavenly group sings a song before the throne that only the 144,000 can hear. So there's this song that is being sung. It's special in that no one else knows what's being sung except for these 144,000. Now, when we get to chapter 14, verses 4 through 5, we're going to notice the purity of the 144,000. John describes who they are and their character, and he tells us some interesting things. So I want you to notice, first of all, the 144,000 are marked by their purity and service for the Lamb. So the first thing that you're going to notice about these 144,000 is that they are marked by their purity and they're marked by the reality that they have served the Lamb. Now, when we talk about their purity, notice what it says in the text. It says that they have not known women, so therefore they are virgins. So obviously they are men, and the reality is they are sexually pure and they have served the Lamb. Now, that's going to bring us now to the second section of the verses that we're going to be looking at. And we're going to notice in Revelation chapter 14, verses 6 through 12, the message of the three angels. So we're going to be introduced to some other angels here. So I want you to notice with me what verse 6 says. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." Another angel, a second, followed, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the great. She has made all nations drink the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality." Another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast and its image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink the wine of God's wrath, poured full strength into the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of his torment goes up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night. These worshipers of the beast and its image, and whoever receives the mark of its name. Here is the call for endurance of the saints, those who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus." Wow, so let's take a look at these messages from these three different angels. So what I want to do, first of all, is I want to focus in on chapter 14, verses 6 through 7, and we're going to see the message of the first angel. The first angel and what it is that he's saying. So what I want you to notice is that the first angel brings an eternal message to the world. Now, sometimes we focus in on the fact that it says an eternal gospel. Gospel means good news. And so what we want you to understand is we're not talking about that he's bringing a message of salvation. The eternal message seems to be a message of God's righteousness and judgment rather than a message of salvation. And so I want you to notice that. The good news is that God is righteous and his judgments are coming. It's not necessarily a message of salvation for them to turn to Jesus Christ. And you're going to notice that in what the angel says. Now, that brings us now to chapter 14, verse 8, the message of the second angel. So what we're going to see here now is that the second angel, immediately after the first, makes a proclamation. And what his proclamation is concerning is, well, let's take a look. The second angel proclaims the fall of Babylon. Now, we're going to talk about Babylon a few more times when we go through the book of Revelation. And you might be saying, do you mean Babylon that sits in ruins in the nation of Iraq today that I remember Saddam Hussein wanted to rebuild? No. We're not talking about the places that Nebuchadnezzar built. We're not talking about that Babylon, but Babylon rather symbolizes the future world empire, the empire of the beast. Just like, if you remember, in Peter, he talks about being in Babylon. It wasn't with reference to the literal Babylon. It was with reference to Rome when he spoke about it. So Babylon represents the world empire at the time. And so it's basically proclaiming that this empire is going to be judged. It's going to be fallen. It's going to be brought to an end. Now, that brings us to chapter 14, verses 9 through 11, and we see the message of the third angel. Now, here's what I want you to notice. The third angel pronounces judgment on the beast and those with his mark. So he's going to be pronouncing judgment upon the beast. Who's the beast? The Antichrist. And those who have taken his mark. You remember, we talked about that in the last lesson. They will take a mark on their hand or on their forehead, and it will allow them to buy and sell. And it basically acknowledges that they are followers and worshipers of the Antichrist, the beast. Now, that brings us to an interesting message that is given in chapter 14, verse 12, the sustaining nature of the coming judgment. Now, what do you mean by that, George? Well, here's what I want you to notice. The coming judgment sustains the saints in their temporary troubles. So what it does is understanding that God is going to bring everything to an end. He's going to bring everything to a finality where his judgment is poured out. That is to sustain you and I as believers right now with the things that we are enduring, which are only temporary. It's also to sustain those within the tribulational period, because what they're enduring is only temporary, because God is going to execute his judgment and ultimately Jesus Christ is going to come back. Well, that brings us now to our third section, which we find in chapter 14, verse 13, the blessing of the faithful saints. So I want you to notice with me what verse 13 says. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this, blessed are the dead who died in the Lord from now on. Blessed indeed, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow them. Okay, so let's take a look. What's going on here? Well, a blessing is pronounced upon those believers who died in the tribulation. So I want you to understand, we have already talked about this a little bit in the other lessons, that there will be believers during the tribulational period. There will be people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue who will come to faith, and they will experience martyrdom. They will experience death because of the Antichrist and those who follow him, and because of the judgments that will take place. And the blessing is pronounced on these believers who die in the tribulation. Well, all right, so that's going to bring us now into our next section, which we're going to focus in on chapter 14, verses 14 through 20. And we're going to see the messages of the second group of three angels. The second group. So we've seen one group of three angels and what they've pronounced. Now we're going to look at a second group of three angels. Now here's what I want you to notice. When we look at verse 14, here's what it says. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and seated on the cloud, one like the Son of Man, with a golden crown on his head, and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel cried out of the temple, calling with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is fully ripe. So he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle across the earth, and the earth was reaped. Another angel came out of the temple in heaven. He too had a sharp sickle. Another angel came out from the altar, the angel who had authority over the fire. And he called with a loud voice to one who had the sharp sickle, "Put in your sickle and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, for its grapes are ripe." So the angel swung his sickle across the earth and gathered the grape harvest of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood flowed through the winepress as high as a horse's bridle for 1,600 stadi. All right, so let's take a look at what's going on here. First of all, I want you to notice verse 14. The one on the white cloud. Now, who's the one on the white cloud? Well, think about how he's described. John sees Christ on the throne with a sickle in his hand. So John sees Jesus Christ on his throne, getting ready to execute judgment upon the earth. So that brings us now to chapter 14, verses 15 through 16, the message of the first angel. So the first angel of this second group. So what do we notice? The first angel calls the one on the throne to harvest with his sickle. He's calling for Jesus to execute judgment, to execute his wrath, and to harvest with this sickle. In chapter 14, verses 17 through 20, the second and third angel. Now, here's what I want you to notice. When we focus in on this section, if we look at chapter 14, verse 17, we're going to see the second angel. Now, what's significant here? Well, what I want you to notice is the second angel has a sickle in his hand. Just like the one who sits on the cloud, which is the one who's in charge, the one who is Jesus, the Messiah, who's going to bring about his judgment upon the world, this second angel has a sickle in his hand. Well, that brings us now to the next thing I want you to notice is in chapter 14, verse 18, we're going to see the third angel. There's a third angel that's mentioned here. The third angel calls the second angel to bring judgment with his sickle. So he's asking for this angel, the second angel who has a sickle, to execute judgment on the world. Well, that brings us now to which really is the final section that we're going to look at here in this passage, which is chapter 14, verses 19 through 20. And we're going to notice now the actions of the second angel. Now, what exactly is going to happen here? Well, the second angel brings about a great slaughter with much bloodletting. When you think about a sickle, that's really a curved knife that's used to harvest grain with. It's going to be used. You think about a knife and how bloody that can be. This is what's happening here. The second angel brings about a great slaughter. Well, that's going to bring us now, as we look into this final section that we're looking at in our lesson today, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, the seven angels introduced. There are seven more angels now that are introduced. Now, what exactly is going on here? Well, I want you to notice with me verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and amazing, seven angels with seven plagues, which are the last, for with them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw what appeared to be a sea of glass mingled with fire, and also those who had conquered the beast and its image and the number of its name, standing beside the sea of glass with harps of God in their hands. And they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and amazing are your deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After this I looked, and the sanctuary of the tent of witness in heaven was opened. And out of the sanctuary came seven angels with seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen with gold sashes around their chests. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the sanctuary was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one could enter the sanctuary until the seven plagues of the seven angels are finished. Now, let's take a look at what's happening here. First thing I want you to notice, in Revelation 15, verse 1, John sees the seven angels. Here's what I want you to see. John sees another sign of seven angels with seven great plagues. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Okay, so we started off with one series of judgments, and that was the seal judgments. When we got to the seventh seal, that revealed an additional seven judgments. Those were the trumpet judgments. When we got to the seventh trumpet, what is being revealed now? An additional seven judgments, which are the final judgments. Now, what I want you to notice now when we come to chapter 15, verse 2, is the multitude. The multitude. So here's what I want you to see. John sees the gathering of a multitude who have victory over the beast. So again, these are folks who were able to overcome the beast during the tribulational period. Now, there's a question about who this multitude is. Now, here's what I want you to notice. The scripture states that they have victory over the beast, his image, the mark, and the number of his name. So some scholars believe that the multitude is the choir of the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Scholars believe that the multitude is the tribulational martyrs because they gain the ultimate victory over the beast with their death. So that's a possibility when we think about who the multitude is. Now, when we notice chapter 15, verses 3 through 4, we see the multitude song. We see what it is that they are singing. So the multitude sang a song of praise to the Lord. Now, it's described as the song of Moses and the song of the Lord. Also notice with me, when we get to chapter 15, verses 5 through 8, again, the introduction of the seven angels. These seven angels who are bringing plagues, as the text says, or judgment. So I want you to notice, is John sees seven angels who are given seven golden bowls of wrath. Now, some translations will call it censers. The reality is they're given these bowl-like things, they're censers in which have the wrath that is going to be poured out upon the world. Seven complete judgments. So that brings us to the end of lesson 22. Now, when we get into lesson 23, we're going to see this final series of judgments, these bold judgments.